Hello, and welcome to the Simple Faith Podcast from the Faith Formation for Children and Youth Department at St. Catherine of Siena Church in Austin, Texas. Our goal is to offer short and simple thoughts and reflections as part of our Faith Formation program. We hope you will find them helpful. This year's theme is Living Leisurely Through the Liturgical Year, and the title of today's podcast is Pink Sunday, How Do We Rejoice? Growing up, I remember calling the third Sunday of Advent Pink Sunday. However, it's really called Gaudete Sunday from the Latin word meaning rejoice. We call it Gaudete Sunday because the opening antiphon, or prayer verse at Mass, is from the fourth chapter of Philippians. It reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice." This year, it has been hard to find much to rejoice about on the third Sunday of Advent. The night before, as Catholics would have been keeping vigil for the Sabbath, protests, counter-protests, and counter-counter-protests were taking place in Washington, D.C. People were assaulted, stabbed, and arrested. Hundreds of people felt no call or inspiration to rejoice as they actively set out to tear each other down and apart. Even as thousands of people lay sick and dying in our country, many of us are still unable, or unwilling, to put aside our own personal and tribal issues and identities to come together as the people of God to help one another out, even though we risk destroying ourselves in the process. A few days before, on December 10th, we remembered the Trappist monk Thomas Merton, who died on that date in 1968 in Kentucky. Thomas Merton was a well-known contemplative author, an international interfaith and peace and justice advocate. The gospel reading for that day was from Matthew. Jesus said to the crowds, "Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent are taking it by force." 2020 has not felt like a year in which to rejoice in the Lord always. In fact, it has felt more like this account of the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent are taking it by force. Recently, I was reminded of the quote from Thoreau, "Most men lead lives of quiet desperation." In 2020, that desperation is no longer quiet. It is loud, angry, and violent. I wonder, though, underneath all of that, perhaps what we're really suffering from is fear. Maybe it's a fear that we're not educated or professionally successful enough, or fear of our own perceived weakness compared to others. Perhaps we're afraid of our own poor health and of losing our jobs and healthcare. Perhaps it's fear of the changing reality of our neighborhoods and communities, gentrification for some, and the influx of people who aren't like us for others. Maybe we just feel helpless, with few economic prospects, few job prospects, and no way out, but at the same time seeing immigrants who look like they're doing pretty well. Maybe we're a tiny bit selfish or insecure and feel like we need to have or achieve more than others to feel good about ourselves. We worry how we're going to give our kids a life better than the one we have now, especially in such a competitive global world. At the end of the day, do we just lay in bed and wonder if we matter at all, to God or to anyone else? Does anyone care? In this year of suffering, how then do we begin to rejoice? Well, first we can look to Mary and her interaction with the angel Gabriel, whose first words to her included, "Do not be afraid." "Be not afraid, fear not," and other consolations are found throughout Scripture in both the Old and New Testaments. It seems God knows that as humans, one of our first temptations is fear. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, God says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." When fear rushes in to overtake and paralyze us, we can rejoice in knowing God's most often repeated reminder is, "Do not be afraid." And if we find ourselves simmering in fear, we can call upon Mary to be with us in that fear and remind us that thanks to her, yes, God is with us in the flesh as Emmanuel. Next, we can turn to the holy women and men, those friends of God and prophets, as the Book of Wisdom calls them. Thomas Merton was not only a monk, but a wise spiritual teacher. In his book, No Man is an Island, he writes, "Anxiety is the mark of spiritual insecurity. So the good news is we have nowhere to go but up." Many years before he wrote that, Merton went through his own long spiritual journey and conversion. A famous story from his spiritual autobiography took place when he was in the busy city of Louisville, Kentucky. He wrote, "In Louisville, at the corner of 4th and Walnut, in the center of the shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all these people, that they were mine and I theirs, that we could not be alien to one another even though we were total strangers. It was like waking from a dream of separateness." We can rejoice because we are not alone. God made us to live in community, and the Advent to Christmas story of God being born into the human community confirms it. We are not meant to be alone, to survive alone, to separate ourselves from one another. We have the power to take steps to bridge our separateness and find comfort in one another. Just as Mary ran to her cousin Elizabeth, we too can take the large or small journey toward each other, especially toward those who are different from us. Even though we may have different ideas and opinions about how to solve the many problems hovering over our world, we are reminded that the Holy Spirit hovered over Mary and brought forth Jesus, the living God, into this messy and sometimes hostile human community. Finally, we can rejoice because as believers in and followers of a God of compassion, we know that we do matter to God and that God is at work in our lives, if only we will cooperate and allow God in. We can find ways to help each other move beyond lives of quiet or loud and angry desperation. Like Mary, we can take to heart the second reading from Gaudete Sunday. "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked upon his handmaid's lowliness. Behold, from now on, all ages will call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is from age to age to those who fear him. He has shown might with his arm, dispersed the arrogant of mind and heart. He has thrown down the rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the lowly. The hungry he has filled with good things, but the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped Israel his servant, remembering his mercy, according to his promise to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." Our faith tells us God lifts up the lowly, and yes, sometimes that's us. Not that God favors the powerful and the boisterous. The challenge for many of us in our upwardly mobile American society is that our national and cultural narrative tells us to get more, do more, be more. And we have created a God for ourselves who advocates this same kind of dominance. However, any true faith in the God of Jesus must come down from its lofty heights and dwell in our lowliness, saying, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, not my own greatness, not the kingdom taken by violence, not a vindication of our own making. Rather, as Mary did, and as we sing out on this Gaudete Sunday to announce a year of favor from the Lord, we can rejoice because at the bottom of all our fear and anxiety, our violence and hunger for power, we are created by God to be reflections of the greatness of God. We too can bring Emmanuel, God with us, into the world. We can take small but significant steps out of our fear and isolation and toward welcoming those who are very different from ourselves without having to fear them."